In the main worship section of the meeting, and we're going to be focusing on the light coming into the world. We're going to be talking about Epiphany, and we've tried it once before and quite successfully. We used a blacked out meeting place. We're going to be doing that again as we share communion, and with that in mind, it'd be really good if the kids could bring torches with them. Now, I've already spoken to them this morning and said not to blame their parents if they forget to bring torches with them. But if you don't have responsibility for children but you do have torches, it'd be really great if you could bring some along. It just means that people don't feel left out. You'll see how we put that together as we go along. We'll sing a couple of songs, we just want to have a good focus for communion next Sunday morning. The other thing is this, that we have a visit from Alan and Lizzie Cox. Alan is a national worker with Pioneer, which is the denomination of which we are part. Since Pioneer's been part of churches together in England, we've used the word denomination. It saves us the idiocy of saying we're not a denomination. In what way are we not a denomination? And then anybody in a denomination, a grouping of churches. So like you've got the Church of England and you've got the Methodist Church, and then there are much smaller groupings like us, of which there are many. And the reason we're asking Alan and his wife Lizzie to visit us is to, in addition to what Dave does for us, we need people to help us, help challenge us as to whether we really are doing what we say we're doing. Okay? We don't want people to change us. We don't want people to make us more like them. What we want is people to make us more like us. That may come through this morning as well. So it will be an introductory visit from them. We don't know how that's going to pan out, whether it's going to work for us, whether it's going to work out as one of their priorities. One of the things that Alan is concentrating on, I think particularly in the southwest of England, but also up in the Harrogate area, is setting up joint projects with the Methodist Church. Around here in Chippenham area particularly, the Methodist Church is very live and very strong. In other places they find they've got more buildings than people, and as you know, Pioneer churches tend to have more people than buildings, they're trying to put that together. And I think the very first joint funded Methodist / Pioneer minister has recently been recruited and employed, so that's really why the Coxes are with us next Sunday. So we've had one meeting with them so far, and David and I have been making a point of doing our best to hook back into the Pioneer network. It's not as though we've ever left, but it's sort of drifted as we've had other priorities. So that's all going on in the background. Little thought about last year before we go on, and I'm going to ask you to reflect to one another as to what you think about this and some quick reactions. Some of the things people searched for on Google last year. What's your response? What's your reaction to watching that? You may well have seen it before as an advert. Talk to one another about it for a minute or two. Okay, guys, responses to watching that video. what were your responses? You know, you actually wonder how many times it went that way when he started off. That did amuse me as well.
Does Pete want to ride the bike for the jet?
Paul with John on his back, almost certainly. Or John with Paul on his back as he gets a little bit older.
How it split two ways. Some of them. Film star that died, I didn't even know who he was, and I certainly recognised him in his face a couple of months later. But some of it was so ephemeral, but some of it was so long lasting.
Yeah. I felt there was so much stuff there that I could affirm. There were one, two things that I was slightly uncomfortable with, but I'm just glad to be part of the human race. And I think of all the years when I was a kid, that I was given a particular interpretation of what it meant as a Christian to be in the world and not of it. And what it meant was despising many of the things that make us human. And loads of stuff there I'm so glad about. I find myself hugely glad about social media and the ability and the enhanced ability it gives people who engage with it to communicate. You know, you hear about the negatives, but this morning I was woken up at a reasonable hour by a sound which meant WhatsApp, and got into a conversation with Susanna in Bangkok about the fact they'd just got back from the doctors and Tom had got chicken pox again, and then backwards and forwards about the fact that I was misreading some of her notes, and then a few days ago to be able to have a conversation with my eldest grandson, which ended up with saying to him, I think you probably ought to go to sleep now, because it was about 4 in the afternoon for us, 11 for him. And then my mum this week, yet again, we've given her my previous iPad, and she is able to keep up with the family and family photographs and mission organisations that she's engaged with, and it's turned out to be really powerful. I can affirm that stuff. I can affirm Nelson Mandela, even though, as you know, I have no particular brief to support Thatcherism and Baroness Thatcher, but to be thankful for her life as somebody who at least took issues seriously and was prepared to live consistently with what she believed. And then other stuff there as well. Not sure how I feel about gay marriage, but I do really think that God will always give a vote for love and for faithfulness. What I do know is that I don't want to make that the unforgivable sin, whereas greed and nastiness and all sorts of stuff that we Christians practice routinely gets a nod and goes through on the other side. The fact that can't pronounce her surname, but Manala, the young woman who gave the most impressive talk at the UN, we're probably going to clip a little bit of that next Sunday, and starts off by thanking God and then thanking other people. And I think, gosh, there's real passion there. So in all that stuff, I find myself wanting to affirm that I am linked to the human race, and that there are people around who are good, wonderful people, but who need Jesus, because Jesus makes all the difference. And whatever you say, if you want to get to the Father, you do so through Jesus. There are other people who are trying to make their way to God, some of whom I would not like to say are not succeeding, If that makes me a universalist, so be it. But then I can call you rude names as well. So I'll take that one on, perhaps. But what we do know as Christians is that we preach Jesus. And Jesus is a great way to the Father, because he provides us huge resources, which I don't think you can get in any other way. I don't know any other religion where you have the help of the Holy Spirit to show us the Father. So that's where I'm starting from this morning. But I really want to focus, and this morning is not a particularly devotional word, although I hope it will encourage our devotion to God. I really want to talk about connections, cabaret connections and cafe connections. And as I do so, you will see, I think, why we're giving this a whole session this morning. We have talked about connections before, and we did a talk about how connections embodies Dayspring's DNA. And if you want to understand Dayspring and what makes us tick, then you need to hook into connections. And there are a couple of pages on that I'm not going through this morning about how connections embodies our vision and our values and our ethos. But if you want to talk to either David or I, we can get that sent to you and you can catch up. Now, connections, as you know, if you're involved with it, is hugely hard work. Connections, people invest a lot. On one occasion, Paul managed to split his head open. On reflection, it was because he was not following good procedures. But there you go. That's the nature of lighting, that if you stand underneath it as you let it down, it will come down on your head, which was a bit of a shock to all of us. Many people have worked very late at night to put it together. There have been occasions when David has been right on the edge. One occasion where he had an abscess on a tooth and just about made it through. It's been hard work, and it's very, very high cost. A big, big chunk of our budget every year goes into connections. It's unusual. There aren't many churches that would want to focus in that particular way. But interestingly, more and more churches are saying, what we're saying is, please don't evaluate us by what we do when we're centred. It's great to see this room full, but I have to remind myself that is not an important way of evaluating Dayspring. Right? When we're looking in, great to have more of us, but only great to have more of us really, because it helps us when we're looking out to be more effective. But even if it is hard work, the advantage of it is that in some ways it concentrates on something we know is really important. If it's very costly, it isn't costly compared to having big revivalistic meetings which are pretty much self-centered and concentrate on providing resources for people who have already got those resources through the Spirit and should be doing it themselves. It puts resources where they want. And even if it is unusual, it's becoming more and more common that people are talking with the same sort of missional vocabulary that we're using. If you don't think so, Google, and you'll find out that it's rather more common. And so we think that cabaret is still important, and at the end of my session this morning I'm going to get to the fact that we had to do some evaluation last year, right at the end of the season, because we were told that we can't have the Cove Theatre anymore and we'll be like their Trowbridge venue. But we'll come back to that in a minute. So it sounds to us like cutting off their nose to spite their face, but there you are. They're funded by government, so what else would you expect? The great thing for us about cabaret is that first and foremost, for people who come along there, most of whom over 50% of whom consistently, sometimes rising to 60 or 70% of the attenders, have no other significant involvement with church. Okay? And there the possibility of God is raised. Most people live lives in which the possibility of God is rarely referenced. There the possibility of God is raised, and without apology we talk about God. Yeah? The second thing is that in that environment discipleship is demonstrated. People talk about their stories of faith, and as you know, there are no holds barred. The great thing is that as we tell stories, I'll come back to this in a minute, we are able to make any assertion we like, because we're not saying you should, we're saying we do. Yeah? And anybody's entitled to tell their story in our culture. And somewhere in there, people are invited to follow Jesus. Now, you may think it happens very slowly. There have been some very impressive times. I think one of the acts that impressed me hugely was that guy Jonathan Vieira, who came some years ago. Now, of course, he is an actor, an opera singer at the height of his powers. He really is. And a huge entertainer. Still around, still filling Glyndebourne and all sorts of other places. But it impressed me that he started off by telling a silly little story about the fact that he had been trained as a musician, and when he got back to from university, his parents, who led a small evangelical church, wanted him to be involved in the children's work. And having been to music college and learned these skills, they wanted him to be able to play the piano in Sunday school and to play this tune, and he played the tune Yes Jesus Loves Me, which got a laugh. And then he gradually built on this throughout the program, and towards the end of the program he said, and there it was again, Yes Jesus Loves Me, and started to play, and then said to the audience, you can join in if you want to. And people who you know and I know who have questions about the existence of God were beginning to engage in a declaration, because you couldn't have stopped them joining in. Yeah? So that's part of the process. And we're beginning to see cabaret bear fruit. There are all sorts of other ways, of course, we build relationships with people, but part of Brenda's story is cabaret, and part of Carol's story is cabaret. Great, isn't this a nice jumper? Do you need knitting it? Brilliant knitting. Yeah, yeah, very impressive. The I still can't stand the sound of knitting needles. So that puts.
I'm a classic, so they're all quiet.
You're quiet. Got one. Silent knitting needles. Yeah. Her knitting needles have silencers on them. Yeah. Meanwhile, what was I saying? Yeah, about the people that that have been touched and brought in. We've got, there's a couple of ladies who occasionally, I don't know whether it's occasionally or regularly, are part of one of our small groups because of their involvement in Cabaret Connection and in Cafe as well. And we know that in Cafe we're talking to people who have got big issues in their lives. Roy's friends, for instance. I know regularly I'm able to sit down with and getting them to tell me a bit more of their story. Other people who come along to Cabaret and Cafe and are negotiating their way into being part of the post-post alpha group that's going on. So there is a real sense in which it's happening out there. We're beginning to see it and we're pushing through on it, and we want you to know about it too, without breaking confidences, which of course is always the difficulty, because telling other people's testimonies is something which you can't really do very well. So the first time that we met Jade and her family, for most of us did anyway, was at Cabaret just over a year ago. Yeah. So there's a lot of it going down, guys. It's beginning to pay off. So here we're going to go. I'm going to talk. Let's give you something to hang on to. What I want to do is to place Cabaret Café in the context of things, four things. The first is sending, the second is sharing, the third is stories, and the fourth is serving. I've got four videos, got one video to go with each. Unfortunately, I've been a bit of a bad lad and haven't timed them properly, so not quite sure how much time I've got to talk about them in between. Jesus said, "Even as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Jesus didn't say, if you want to hear me preach and want to hear me tell parables, you've got to come to heaven where I live, and there you'll be able to find out everything you need to know, because I feel comfortable in heaven. Instead of that, he was incarnated. He took on flesh, incarnated in meat, in body, in flesh. And the place at which Jesus told that story was really quite interesting. This is the bit in the Bible. It's in John 21.
John chapter 20, verses 19 through 29. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Now Thomas was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen as the Father has sent me, I." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, "Stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting. As you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
How does that figure in your life? You're sent into work by God, as well as the need to get money. If we only conceive of the way in which we live our lives as being to resource us for our lives, then we're missing it. If we only conceive that being sent is something for some special people, we're missing it. You know, about 18 months back, I got the idea, which we haven't really followed through yet, that one of the best ways of understanding the role of table hosts is as people who are apostolic, who are the sent ones who bring people together. And the problem is, of course, that we're all sent into different situations. We're sent into our families, into our wider families, with the message of God. And I'm intrigued by the fact that Jesus gave this message to the disciples just after he had died. Okay, before that he had said, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. But it rather made the point, didn't it, where they're all scared. And part of the conversation, "I'm sending you here, I've got this scar on my side. That's how the Father sent me, to serve, to be involved, to go where people are and they feel comfortable, rather than to have people come to you where you feel comfortable." And of course, one of the things we have to recognise is that Cabaret and Café are about the bridge between being incarnational and being attractional. The reason that that exists is because we know that lots of us find it easy to talk to people about some things, but we're not cut out to give them the complete message. You know, people often say to me, "I don't know how to say this." Well, that's true of most of us, but when we put it all together, then we begin to understand it. Now, what I want to make a point here is that Jesus never ever preached anything like a gospel sermon. He never took people through the ABC of the gospel. He never told the complete story. He never told people all they need to know to follow him. And as far as I know, apart from if you cast this one while he was hanging on the cross, it's the only one occasion he invited people to pray a prayer or to pray a prayer for somebody. He never prayed with people to receive him. Strange, isn't it, how we've built up this sort of pile of things we have to do which are not really based on what Jesus did. But that's not to say that the gospel doesn't matter, the good news doesn't matter. Whoops, let's go back to the beginning again.
God is love. Pretty simple, really, because God gives us perfect love freely. Perfect love in the shape of a cross means my wrongs get crossed off. He gave up his crown, came down from above to do what we couldn't. That is gospel good news. That is perfect love. But to do life in Christ who paid our fee is to do life like Christ who set us free. That means the perfect love that we see in spirit strength, we do, we be Christ-like. Do you think God calls us to the sidelines of church to just take a seat, shake the preacher's hand and leave the next Sunday comes round and repeat? Do me a favour. That might say, we're called to do and show the world what perfect love's all about. He's the wellspring of life, the living water. And it's about time we be church, show love, and do gospel. Not just to tick our new old plan and meeting boxes, but 24/365. And because the tomb is empty, perfect love's already won. But till he returns in glory, there's plenty of jobs to do and to be done. See, perfect love commissions us to ricochet his love, to display Corinthians 13 love. So the mission is not just to spectate, but do. But here's the thing. God's not just calling someone else to do his gospel. In fact, he's calling you.
Okay, to talk the gospel is great. But we start with being and doing. If you can't talk it, if you don't know all of that stuff. And goodness me, it's complicated to do, to communicate all that lot, isn't it? In fact, people have to have special training to be able to do it in 3 or 4 minutes. And by and large, it doesn't really work when you do it in 3 or 4 minutes. It only works when you talk and be and do over the pattern of your life. So, how much of the gospel do we try and share? As little as possible. Right? You know, it's funny, isn't it, that when Jesus told his stories about the kingdom, he only shared a little bit. He didn't go on to the next bit. In fact, it's really very difficult. And certainly once you get outside the Jewish area, for Paul as well, it was very unusual that he shared so much in detail. If you look at what he talked about when he was in Athens or when he was in Lystra, he only shared bits of the story, little bits of the story, which hardly ever were enough for people to do more than say, tell me more. And I'm really grateful that that's what's been happening over the past little while, that we're leaving people with questions. We were inspired a few years back by something called three-story evangelism. We've still got the discs, we've still got the stuff around, and we no doubt need to go further. But the idea is this, that what we want to do is to listen to people tell us their story. And as we listen to stories, we begin to understand about people. So, for instance, I've heard bits of Brenda's story, because she's been around so long. It's a very long story as well, isn't it? Slightly longer than mine, but I could take longer telling mine. Those of you who haven't been around so long, your story's shorter, but it's your story. And, of course, when we listen to people tell their story, one of the things we can be fairly certain of is that they're not being really quite honest initially when we hear their stories, because they're not sure how much they can bear to tell us, how we'll respond. But then when we listen to people's stories, we find there's something in common with our story as well. I spent the whole week reading about stories and I should have spent the whole week reading about stories and telling stories and how that all works together. But that's what it's about in cabaret, isn't it? That we listen to people's stories. And it's fascinating. You know that quite often I'll listen to somebody's story in that event, and because of my background and because of the way I've spent my life, I'll actually find out that I know people who they know, that they know one of my kids or have worked together. By the way, Andy and Jenny Flanagan have had their baby, and it's been quite severely ill. So as you get opportunity, do pray for them. It's had a series of fits, and they don't know what the impact of that has been. Luke was telling me about that the other day. But we find that our lives overlap and our stories overlap. And one of the great things after we've done cabaret is that we hear back from you as hosts. People said, but why didn't you ask this question? Or I would have liked to have known more about how this worked. And sometimes what they'll be asking about is how people met God and how they resolve problems. And so we're creating an environment where people want to hear God's story too. So you've got their story, your story, and they're brought together in the big story, which is God's story. Now, here are some American youth leaders actually talking about this. I don't think we can afford to run the whole of this, but I'll hope to get you interested and then put the link up this week.
The heart of Three Story is love.
The way out of Three Story is every day. It's connecting with my neighbors. It's being who I am. It's sharing a part of who I am, sharing my story with them, and slowly trying to learn their story in hopes of one day connecting their story to God's story.
An example of how the Three Story is, I listen. I listen because people listen to those who listen.
Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all so that those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised. An example of how I live Three Story is I miss God's story a lot of time in my own life, and I've learned to watch their story. So one of the things is just telling stories with my Christian friends. Because as I hear theirs, I learn to see theirs in a way I never see God's story in a way I've never seen it before.
Three Story is a way of life that Jesus uses to draw lost people to himself.
It's the kind of lifestyle that sits well in most of the cultures of the world.
If you're interested, then listen to it. Stories are really important. And what you do around the tables is that you listen to people's stories. What you do when you're in school, you listen to people tell their stories. And then we get to the point where we can actually affirm people's stories. We affirm them when we say, yeah, I have that problem too, or it's been like that for me too. We don't concentrate so much on the propositions, but there's the story of Jesus and how he came into our lives. So stories are critically important in what we do and where we go. When we share stories on the Sundays, I don't know whether you find yourself in the position that somebody stands up and shares something and you say, I wonder what happened next, or what happened before that, or how this week has gone, or how the conversation that you had with this person is working out over time. Because lots of stories we tell are actually snapshots rather than stories, aren't they? And it's the stories that make sense of things. How are you doing with this? You know, how's it going? How are you facing up to these things in your life? And we can afford to be honest, because, hey, we're people too. We're part of the human race. Okay, the fourth point. We've gone through sending, sharing stories, and here's serving. The whole of the thing that's involved with the connections thing is that people, stupid sentence if ever there was. Right, Horst, don't edit what you're saying, just say it. Let's start again. The underlying distinctive ethos of cabaret and cafe is that people serve. That people are willing to work, and to work long hours and under particular strain. You know, when we become part of the church, we recognise that we've got gifts and abilities. The problem is that there are people around who are actually looking for somewhere to use their gifts in church. Have you ever heard anybody talk like that? Mm-hmm. Yeah? That's not why we're here. We're here to use our gifts for the good of other people. And if the things that we think we're gifted in are not terribly useful at that time, and goodness knows we only need a limited number of preachers, that's for sure, then there are all sorts of other ways in which we're able to help, because we're gifted with humanity. We're gifted with two hands. Some of us are gifted with strong backs. Some of us are gifted with the ability to be hospitable. I like this story. Hang on. Wrong one. Go back. Julia's story, yeah.
My name is Julia, and this is my story. There are a lot of stories in the Bible that I think we each can relate to, and that I definitely relate to. One of them is when the fact that the Jews are waiting for a king, and they're expecting this big production and powerful person to come in and rescue them and save them in this big, great way. I think I would have felt the same way. We all know from the scripture what they got, and it is a servant king who came and did not strive to be like God, but instead became a servant, and to the point of laying down his life for us. In my own heart, there's this very similar struggle. I want to be great. I want to be part of something great. I want to do something great. But the world takes that desire and twists it, and Satan lies to us and makes it about our value and our worth. I serve at Soma School, which is an opportunity that people have from all the world to come to Soma, Tacoma, and be trained up by our elders, and I do a lot of hospitality stuff. I get kind of frustrated, usually, about the fourth day. 4 days, and so it's a long week, it's long days, it is tiring. But there is a point at which, on about the fourth day, my heart starts to crumble about doing something that's maybe not as important as I hoped that I could be doing. Last October, I was sweeping the floor, and right at that point of grumbling, and a man came and asked me some questions, and was thanking me profusely, like really over the top thankful, and was very grateful and saying that, you know, what I was doing was a really big deal, even though if I didn't know it. And then he asked me some more logistical questions about coffee and such, and then he looked me straight in the face and asked me why I thought it was that we had trouble getting people to serve in this capacity. Without skipping the beat, the truth in my heart betrayed my pride, and it came out of my mouth and confessed to him that he said people want to be part of something great, and this isn't great. And after I said that, I heard it for the first time as well. I kind of looked away and was thinking about it, and when I looked back at him, he was crying. And I don't know if it was because it convicted his own.
I think that's in the recording, actually, but did you get the point? She was talking about the fact she was under pressure, she was finding it difficult to serve. A man came to her and said, why do you think it's so difficult to get people to serve? And she said, it's because people want to be great. And as she said that to him, she spoke those words back to herself. Now, we can only do cabaret with the kind of work that you guys are putting in. Whether it's inviting people to be part of your table, and you know, those of you who invite people to your table find it difficult to think of yourselves as being frontline apostles. But hey, what do the words mean? Why is it so? What else is there that's worth doing in life than doing that? I'm sure that most of us would like it if there were badges available In fact, most of us were brought up in a culture where one of the reasons you had to wear blazers at school was because there was nowhere else to hang all the badges. Prefect, house prefect, house captain, whatever it was, games captain, deputy sub games captain, that got stuck on your lapels. There was one of my friends that went to school where the highest accolade you could expect that you would wear a cap. We stopped wearing caps at the end of the first year at our school, but he went to a school where you wore a cap, and if you were really good, you got a tassel on your cap. That was the most impressive thing of all. Cap with a tassel on, if you're a school prefect. There's something about us that means that we don't really understand what it is that counts with lots of these things. And wherever we are at the moment, we can evaluate ourselves along this line. As she says in the Bible, evaluate yourself. Where are you? Do you live your life as though you're sent? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How do you place yourself there? Are you ready to share? Nobody's asking you to be able to preach a sermon. But is there something about the good news about Jesus that you share? You into stories? What about three-story evangelism? Do you honour other people's stories? Or are you, like me sometimes, more interested in telling your story than listening to other people's? What do you do as far as serving's concerned? Most of us go up and down on this one. It was interesting listening to that woman saying about the fourth day it clicks in. And with this one in particular, physical tiredness plays a part. Now we know that some people have got very heavy priorities this year, particularly Charlie, right? That's the big focus. We're not saying that when you've got new babies arriving that you're able to fire on all cylinders, you know? It's, 4 children's a lot of children. It's you've probably felt this, but 4 children is twice as many as 3, at least for the first little while. But when they get a bit older, it's absolutely great. It's amazing, and it's wonderful to have a lot of people around. But for most of us, it's probably true that in some of these areas, we could push a little bit further. And you know, it all starts with being sent at the beginning. So, where am I? What am I saying? What I'm saying is this. Think hard about how far you're involved with cabaret. Think of it about your, in relation to your involvement in Sundays. Yes, of course people are involved in Sundays. We want that because that's our major equipping opportunity. There are benefits to being in a small group. That's really great and important as well. But as well as that, we could gain so much if everybody was geared up to be part of the Connections program, even if it wasn't their style. We're happy to admit that everything we do is very middle of the road. But we've found that middle of the road reaches the old and reaches the young as well, that we have tables full of teens, we have tables full of people who are well on into their 70s and 80s and people in between. It's a human experience, it's a family experience, it's something a lot of people can join in. And I would imagine that with Mark Shortland, there will be younger people, particularly our teens. I was watching some of the boys, and they'd be well interested in this. Mind you, I too would love the chance to hammer a phone. But I tell you what, when I interview that guy, I'm not going to have a phone in my pocket and I'm not going to be wearing a watch.
Money.
Yeah, that's easier. I am scared of magicians. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, what was I supposed to be saying? Yeah, let me tell you where we are then with cabaret. What happened with this, we were given the option of using Trowbridge. That didn't work. You can't imagine what it would be like. I only go to Trowbridge, you know, there'd be dragons. It's not somewhere you go to. Although they have a new cinema there, haven't they? But that's an interesting thing. There are probably not as many dragons in Trowbridge as there are in Swindon. But So that doesn't work. We went back to the kneeled hall, which we'd used previously. The reason we stopped using the kneeled hall was because of the fact that we had to use their caterers, and that just didn't work. They weren't able to do what we wanted, and certainly we were paying double what we would have expected to pay. We looked at the Olympiad again. The Olympiad's problematic because you've got sports going on behind the wall, and that becomes quite difficult. Once again, you have to use their caterers because the catering contract. Did we look at the schools? We knew that there wasn't much potential.
Our surrounding Abbeyfield don't hire it out that time.
Yeah. So we went through the options, and we came to the conclusion that we've probably got a committed enough core to bring it here to the Lansdowne Hall. The Lansdowne Hall has a couple of disadvantages over the Cove. The brilliant thing about the Cove, you were in a theatrical environment, you'd got the lights hung in the first place, so there was less chance of Paul dropping them on his head. only happened once, yeah. But you have to understand, it may have passed for you in a moment, but for us, it's a fairly strong image. And is also for Rosie as well, I'm sure. That
waking me up at midnight.
Yeah. Telling me he's had his head glued together. Yeah. You heard that. If he didn't wake up in the morning, yeah, that was the reason why he'd hit himself on the head. That must have been most encouraging. But so there are some disadvantages. There are some huge advantages as well for us. One of the things is that we won't have to clear the place before we go home at night. So what it does mean is that these guys will be able to, I can't believe that he'll actually do it, but it should be possible to actually close the doors at 11 o'clock or 11:30 and say we'll come back in the morning. There are some small savings in terms of the actual costs we pay. Catering will be hugely easier. Do you know that we have no water supply at the Cove Theatre, and we have to take all the drinking water in that we use? We can't wash up there, we can't get cleared up there. Catering will be hugely easier for us. It's still a third place, it isn't a place that we own. The problem is that we're going to have to provide our own stage. We need a stage, which we got for Christmas. We got it in place by then. We're also going to have to put the lighting kit in, which will be useful and accessible to us. Interesting, for the stage, we've already had 2-3 people come and ask us whether they can borrow it, hire it, or use it. Not sure how we're going to get round that, but at least we know that it can be used. It's going to mean that we're going to take money out of our reserves in order to do that. It's money that will take a long time to get back, but we believe it's so important. You see, we went through the process because of all this last year, saying, are we going to do this or not? Are we going to stop? And in the end, we decided it was central to what God has called us to do, so we're going ahead with it. Now, I think that's probably what I needed to say about Cabaret and Cafe. We're still staying at the Angel for Cafe. We think that's a brilliant environment. The downside there, as you know, is that they won't confirm a Saturday night booking until 6 weeks in advance. But 6 weeks is easy enough. Obviously, they want to try and put weddings in if they can. It makes more money for them. But 6 weeks is enough time to invite people. 6 weeks does give you a bit of a problem with booking interviewees, which is what we're in the process of at the moment, trying to line that up. Dave, have I missed anything?
No.
I know I've missed the clock and could have been using the calendar this morning, but that, I think, is mostly where it's at. Guys, this is about sending, being sent into the world by God. It's about sharing the good news. Think about it this week. Have you got some good news about Jesus that you could share? It's about listening to other people's stories. It's about telling stories. And it's about linking their stories and your stories to God's story. And finally, it's about serving, which is the element in Dave Springs ethos that underlies it. I am hugely grateful, and many of you are as well, for those people who are behind the scenes serving and serving, serving sometimes to 1 o'clock in the morning. We hope it may actually be possible to even store those 16 great big tables here, which will cut down the work. Yes. Trying to put them away quietly at 1 o'clock in the morning, I think, is probably quite difficult. But that may be possible. It'll cost us a little bit of money, but if we can get a hard standing and a shed outside, we can probably put them in there as well. That will mean we'll be able to use them more often as well. We've got the lights, we'll be able to use that stuff more often. It's the hardware that is necessary to begin to draw people in, like Brenda, like Carol, like others, like Jade and her family. It's all part of that. So we hope you're behind it. Father, help us this week to be fired up with your passion, with your sentness, with sharing your good news, with telling stories and listening to stories and having a heart to serve people. Amen. Thank you for listening so well for so long. You're even better than the little kids this morning.